Welcome back to another episode of In the Money, where we break down trading strategies and help share actionable ideas for you, the trader at home. My name is Chase Cotnoir, brokerage content editor here at Fidelity Investments. Joining me today, as always, is Tony Zhang, the chief strategist and co-founder of Options Play. Tony spent the better part of 16 years educating clients on a variety of trading topics when it comes to options and risk management and using trading platforms. Tony, it's always great to have you back on the show. Like our audience today, I'm always interested in listening to what's on your mind. Let's kick off today's conversation with some macroeconomic news, any new developments, and of course, hop into some options trade. It's great to see you here again, Tony.
Yeah, thank you so much, Chase. As you said, there's a lot happening here on the macroeconomic side of things with regards to the markets. But let's kind of start off with kind of where we sit right now. What's really interesting to see is that the S&P 500 has erased all its year-to-date losses, has recovered from its April 2nd sell-off, and more. We're now breaking out above that 5,800, 5,950 range on the S&P 500 that we've been stuck on for the last, call it 3 weeks or so. And it seems like we're knocking on the all-time highs door, which is sitting around 6,150 on the S&P 500. I will note that, as we've made this breakout here above this 5,950 level, they're starting to see some levels of divergence. So we're seeing higher highs in price, but no longer seeing higher highs in momentum. And that does lead to a higher probability of a short-term pullback here. But overall, as long as we stay above that 5,800 level, my thesis is that we're going to head back towards that 6,150 all-time high on the S&P 500. And this is largely driven off of the easing trade tensions that we're seeing here out of the US. The White House has rolled back some of the chip export restrictions, cooling inflation moving in the right direction, and just the Fed continuing to be fairly patient because the underlying economic picture remains quite strong. Semiconductors and mega cap growth tech stocks have really surged on this kind of policy tailwind at the moment here. So that's kind of what we're seeing overall. But at the same time, there are some risks that are starting to emerge that I think investors need to be aware of. Largely, the biggest thing is probably going to be the July Liberation Day tariffs that we had the 90-day pause. Those 90 days is going to be up at the beginning of July. This includes China, the European Union, Canada, Japan, major economies that still have trade negotiations left to go with regards to the US, that's coming up in July. You also have the VIX now trading below 18%. In my opinion, that sort of reflects a little bit of complacency from the markets, a little perhaps too complacent given the fact that the 90-day pause is coming up, and just some of the other things that we need to be aware of, such as some of the tremors we've seen out of the bond markets here over the past few weeks that I think are worth paying attention to. You have a yield curve that continues to be fairly flat, signaling concerns around the sustainability of the amount of debt that we're carrying here from in the US side. And then consumers remain fairly cautious. This is ahead of the kind of the tariff-induced price hikes. At the moment, consumer spending, employment, manufacturing remain strong, but they are starting to slow down. So the economic data that's coming out, the hard data that is lagging behind, is starting to slow down. And I think that's something we need to be aware of. So looking ahead, we have the Fed FOMC meeting coming up in under 2 weeks. That is going to give us a little bit more clarity around how the Fed is thinking in terms of when they might consider cutting rates. The bond markets are currently pricing in the first rate cut not coming in until September, and the second one in December. The inflation rate continues to trend in the right direction, and that's a really good thing, specifically for potentially getting a rate cut, either in September or potentially even before it. But one thing that I do think investors should be paying attention to right now are the treasury auctions of longer dated bonds. You have a 30-year auction that's coming up at the end of next week. You have another 20-year bond coming up the Monday following that. And then at the beginning of July, you have another 30-year bond auction. You know, these bond auctions have been some of the catalysts that have driven markets lower here over the past couple of weeks, both here in the US and internationally in Japan. And I think this is something that we really need to start paying attention to, is see how the bond market is reacting to these treasury auctions, because that is likely, in my opinion, going to be a major catalyst and a potential tail event that the, like I said, the equity markets potentially might be mispricing at the moment.
Yeah, Tony, I mean, that's a lot of information when you think about the average investor or trader to digest. So I'm definitely happy you broke that down for us. I think as it starts to, as more information rolls in, people are going to constantly be adjusting their outlooks. Like, hey, maybe this information's good, maybe this isn't so good. And so we should remember as traders, especially options traders, that this is going to lead to some fluctuation, or it certainly could. And we just want to make sure every day we're doing our very best to manage risk. Just a quick comment here, Tony, you mentioned the VIX being at a lower number, around like the 18-ish level, at least as of yesterday's close. And yeah, there's this interesting duality between, well, could that be perceived as good because it's low volatility? But then you also mentioned complacency, and I think investors are trying to balance those two considerations at the same time. What I want to do now, though, is now that we talked about the macroeconomic backdrop, some of the major information that is probably going to impact options traders, is talk a little bit more about the tactical decisions and opportunities available out there. So let's hop right into the first trade. What's on your mind here, Tony?
Yeah, I want to take a look at Oracle, because you know we've certainly seen a re-acceleration in terms of the investors' interest in AI-related stocks, and specifically AI infrastructure that Oracle is a leader in, with especially some of the strategic partnerships that Oracle has built here over the last year within AI. You know, the stock recently broke out above a major resistance level, and I think the timing looks quite attractive here to add some bullish exposure here to Oracle. If you take a look at a stock here, the stock has been range-bound for a little bit, but recently broke out above that 155 level here. Our upside target here is around $190. Now, what's interesting here is that as it broke out above 155, it has outperformed the S&P 500 as it did that. So those are some of the things that we really like to see as confirmation of that breakout towards its next upside target here, which, like I said, is around $190. So there's an upside, there's a potential upside here in Oracle that I really like in this particular stock from a timing perspective. But I think what's really more important to look at here is the business, because it's trading at around 24, 25 times forward earnings, which is about a 10% discount to its peers, but, you know, trading around 27, 28 times forward earnings. Yet it's expected to grow a healthy clip faster than its peers. It's expected to grow top and bottom line by about 13%. And net margins here around 22%, which is more than double what the industry average is. So Oracle as a business is not only more profitable, it's growing faster than the industry, yet it trades at a valuation that's about a 10% discount to the industry. And that's really why I justify, you know, that $190 upside target, which would bring the stock back in line, just slightly above, you know, the industry average in terms of valuations, which I think is more than justified given the faster than expected growth rate and how it's significantly more profitable than the average stock in its industry. And then if you look at just kind of some of the momentum that Oracle has recently had, their cloud computing business has grown by about 50% year over year. And recently they've announced the partnership with the Project Stargate with OpenAI and SoftBank. They've already deployed over 130,000 NVIDIA GPUs for that specific project. And, you know, this is a stock that trades, like I said, cheaper than the average average NASDAQ 100 stock. It's cheaper than the average cloud computing stock, yet it's expected to grow faster than its peers. So for all those reasons, especially when it starts to break out here with strong momentum, that leads me to believe that there's some institutional accumulation of this particular stock. I think the timing right now makes a lot of sense to look at Oracle, especially if you see the growth here in AI, which I think is pretty clear at this time, that Oracle will likely be a beneficiary of that overall trend. So I think the best way to play this here is to utilize the options and to limit your downside exposure by going out to the August expiration, looking at buying the 170, 190 call spread. Earlier today, you can pay about $7.25 for that debit spread. And this gives you a nearly 2-to-1 risk to reward ratio if Oracle does make it up to that 190 upside target that I'm referring to or above, with a maximum gain of nearly $1,300 per contract if it does get above $190 by that August expiration, while risking $725 to the downside if Oracle stays at 170 or lower at that by that August expiration. So this is the type of trade structure that I really like, having a positive risk to reward ratio when you see a stock that's trading at a lower valuation in an industry that clearly has some support.
Now, Tony, with a bullish trade like that, why not just use a long call strategy, for example? Like, we're talking about this vertical call spread. You mentioned like a almost 2-to-1 reward to risk ratio, but maybe walk me through real quickly and walk our audience, like, why would we maybe not use just a long call spread? Or is it maybe just up to the trader? Like, what are some of those considerations as we look at an opportunity like this trade?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. So let's look at the long call here for 1 second, right? If you were to just buy that August 170 call and not sell the 190 call against it, you'd pay about $11.25 just for that long call alone, which means that, number one, you're risking about over $1,100 per contract versus the $725 per contract that I'm risking using the call spread. So I'm reducing my overall risk here by nearly 30% by using a call spread versus a call option. Now, if you look at just the call option alone, my break-even price would be above $181, meaning Oracle will have to be above $181 just to break even. By using a call spread, I'm reducing my break-even price down to about $177. So it's about $4 lower. It might not seem like a whole lot, but keep in mind that my upside target is around $190. So that makes a pretty significant difference here in terms of when I will be profitable on this particular trade. So essentially what I'm doing here is I'm basically reducing my overall risk on the trade. I'm improving my probability of success on the trade by having a lower break-even price in exchange for capping the upside potential on this trade. Because if I just bought a call option, I have unlimited upside potential. But remember, my upside target is here is 190. I don't particularly think the stock is going to move materially above 190 by that August expiration. So I'm happy to give away any upside above 190 in exchange for lower risk and a higher probability of profit. So that's the thought process that I have between using a call option versus a call spread. And my preference is to use that call spread in this particular example. If I was trading earnings and I thought that there could be a chance that this stock could move materially higher in a very short amount of time, then it might make sense to use just the call option. But in this particular case, I prefer to use the call spread.
Wonderfully said, Tony. Thanks for breaking that down. I think our options traders out there watching this podcast are always thinking, like, what are the risk and reward trade-offs, and maybe what makes the most sense for me given whatever the trade opportunity is. So thanks for breaking that down. Okay, let's move forward to our next trade here. Earnings opportunities. We know that there's always something going on in the marketplace, some new news, a company's got a different product or service going on. When you look out into the future, Tony, like, what's an earnings opportunity that you see, and maybe how could we think about trading that in the future potentially?
Yeah, one stock that's reporting after the close this afternoon is Lululemon. This is a stock that I've liked a lot. We've traded this quite a bit here over the past year here on this show and in the money. But it reports this afternoon, and I really like this the setup here for bullish exposure, because not only has Lululemon recently broke out above a resistance level, it's outperforming the S&P 500 as it does that going into the earnings announcement. I usually like to see that going into an earnings announcement, because that shows me that there's likely some type of institutional accumulation going into that earnings event. And also, it's supported by, you know, what is a fairly strong valuation here. It is trading at a slightly higher than average valuation, but it is more profitable than its industry, than its peers. And that's what I think makes it attractive here for an earnings play, specifically a bullish setup going into this afternoon's earnings announcement.
Got it. Now, if you're a trader who's looking at that potentially bullish setup, is there an initial reaction you have, Tony, on how someone could trade that? Is it stock? Is it options, if it is options, like what kind of strategies would be a reasonable potential for someone to maybe think about?
Yeah, there's always the option of buying the stock ahead of the earnings announcement. But if, let's say, you're a little bit more concerned, trading earnings in terms of managing risk, one of the things I think you can do is to look at the options market. Now, implied volatilities on Lululemon is high going into the earnings announcement, and you can use that to your advantage by selling options. And I think selling a put credit spread here going into the earnings announcement is a suitable strategy that limits your downside risk while collecting premium. And the only reason I'm preferring to sell premium rather than buying premium right now is also because it is trading at above average valuation already. The industry median for this particular, for retailers, there's around 18 times forward earnings. Lulu is already trading around 20 times forward earnings. So it's a little bit more expensive than the industry average. But like I said, that is supported by the profitability metrics that we currently see out of Lululemon that does exceed the industry. So it justifies a higher valuation. But because of that, I do think that the upside here is going to be more limited. And I prefer to sell premium rather than chasing it by buying premium, in my opinion.
Got it. That's super helpful, Tony. Now, when I think about premium, options, risk, I think what we're probably talking about next is going to be managing risk and how do we maybe hold ourselves accountable as traders for whatever the trade that we place might end up turning into, or is it profitable, is it not? And so let's do a little bit of a look back here on a previous trade that we've got on Tesla. Talk to me about how we're managing risk. What are we doing with this trade? Are we closing it? Are we holding it? What are some takeaways for some traders when we look at this trade, Tony?
Yeah, a few weeks ago, I laid out a bearish thesis here on Tesla when it was trading around 281. We looked at buying the June 285, 240 put spread here. The stock has rallied significantly since we put on this trade. We bought this put spread for around $16, this $45 wide debit spread for $16. That debit spread is now trading at only $4.10. And I think it's time to simply close out this trade, especially as we're approaching about 2 weeks out from options expiration. It doesn't make sense, in my opinion, to continue to hold this and hope that Tesla comes back below 285, even though in the last few days the stock has lost a pretty significant chunk of its value here. But I think to continue to hold this and hope that it gets back down to 240 by that options expiration, the chances of that are relatively slim. You still have $4.10. That's $410 per contract left in terms of value of this put spread. I think it's better to save that $410 per contract towards your next trade rather than continue to hold this and hoping that things will turn out, because there's a higher likelihood that you will lose the other $410 if you simply hold this to expiration.
Yeah, and good point there, Tony. And when I think about it, of course, not all trades are going to be winners. And I do want our audience to remember that we're giving updates sort of week by week with these trades, but we can certainly manage risk before or within a week, right? We don't have to wait for every single episodic update. You could definitely manage risk before that. And so I wanted to just quickly ask as we come to time here, Tony, do you have like a rough rule of thumb, maybe like a guideline for our audience of when they should manage risk? Is it like a percentage of a maximum loss? Is it like if there's a technical indicator that gets triggered? What could maybe a trader use as a general guideline, kind of rule of thumb to think about managing risk so they're not waiting week to week necessarily for the risk management plan?
Yeah, generally speaking, you know, it's best to always have a risk management plan, especially if the trade goes against you. It's arguably far more important to have a stop loss level here on every options trade that you have. So, for example, in this debit spread structure that we're using here for Tesla, the rule of thumb that I generally use is that once you lose 50% of the premium that you've paid, it's time to consider cutting your losses on that specific trade. There's only one other trigger that could potentially close, that would trigger me to close out this trade prior to reaching that 50% rule, which is if the stock exceeds a certain support or resistance level that effectively invalidates my original thesis on the trade. So, for example, if let's say I'm trading a stock that has broken down below a support level, and now it's actually broken back above that support level, which is now resistance, and it invalidates my bearish thesis. And at that point, maybe the option that I purchased has not lost 50% of the premium yet. That could be one reason that could trigger me to close out my trade even prior to reaching that 50% rule. But you always should have a stop loss rule that should be hard and fast. It should be black and white. There should be no, it depends on this or depends on that. It should be very clear cut, black and white as far as when you cut your losses. On the flip side, if the trade is going in your favor and you're winning on the trade, then you have a lot of options. You can roll it, you can adjust it, you can close it. But when the trade is going against you, it should be very clear, black and white, no ifs or buts as far as when you get out.
Thanks, Tony. That's awesome insight. Well, that brings us to time here, everybody. Thanks for spending your time with us on today's program. Really appreciate you, Tony, for sharing your thoughts and ideas. I just want to remind everybody, please don't forget to tune into the follow-up Trading Strategy Desk session. We run these tomorrow at Friday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can sign up for that session by going to fidelity.com/in-the-money-follow-up. And if you're looking for further insights, if you missed today's live show, be sure to sign up for the Active Investor Weekly newsletter to receive a highlight of the trades discussed by visiting fidelity.com/Active Investor Weekly. I'm already looking forward to next week's episode of In the Money, but until then, take care, everybody.
Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of Characteristics and Risks of Standardized Options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options such as spreads, straddles, and collars as compared with a single option trade. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you are most comfortable with. As with all your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of options play and are not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use.
Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC.
Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.